I'm Carlos Morales, and you're listening to 103.3 KWBU FM Waco. Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. Recently, we aired a story about the research done at the Mind-Body Medicine Research Lab at Baylor University, where Professor Gary Elkins has been using clinical hypnosis to help postmenopausal women ease the severity of hot flashes and difficulty sleeping. After that story, we'll hear more from Elkins and the work he's doing.
This audio recording will guide you in hypnotic relaxation.
That's Dr. Gary Elkins, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Baylor University. He's recently been using audio recordings like this one to help his patients reduce pain. Specifically, his research has focused on using clinical hypnosis to treat symptoms that postmenopausal women face, like hot flashes and sleeping problems. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hypnosis? Really? Like the time the professor hypnotized Marianne on Gilligan's Island?
I think I can help you with hypnosis.
Hypnosis?
Yes. Now you just watch this shiny object. You just relax.
That's not exactly how it works, says Elkins, who's been interested in hypnosis as a mind-body treatment for most of his career.
Hypnosis is a term that has been around for a long time, and sometimes it's been portrayed in television and in programs in an inaccurate way.
And it's been somewhat of a contentious issue. But according to the American Psychology Association website, although hypnosis has been controversial, most clinicians now agree it can be a powerful, effective therapeutic technique for a wide range of conditions. Now, hypnosis as a potential treatment for hot flashes and other postmenopausal symptoms is somewhat of a recent phenomenon. In 2002, the Women's Health Initiative, a 15-year-long, $625 million federal study that examined the health problems facing postmenopausal women, abruptly ended its largest hormone research. That's because results had shown hormone therapy using a combination of estrogen and progestin had increased the risk for health issues like cardiovascular disease and breast cancer in some women. Ultimately, researchers turned to alternative methods like hypnosis. In his 2013 study, Elkins randomized 187 women into two camps. One received hypnosis as a treatment for hot flashes, and the other group met with a therapist for structured attention. Results showed that women who received clinical hypnosis fared much better than their therapy-only counterparts.
In that study, we found that hot flashes had decreased by approximately 70% at the end of treatment, and then at the 3-month follow-up, self-reported hot flashes had decreased by nearly 80%. We also found that women's sleep improved.
Those results led Elkins to conduct his current research, which focuses on using hypnosis to help improve sleeping problems for postmenopausal women. Vicki Patterson is the clinical research coordinator at the Mind-Body Medicine Research Lab at Baylor.
Okay, each lady's given, at their first appointment, they meet with their research therapist, and they're given what is called a toolkit. It's a little lunch bag, actually, and in it we place a CD player, five CD recordings, 6 booklets. The first one's just an introduction.
The CDs contain various soothing imagery, from lakes to mountains, all voiced by Elkins' deep, drawn-out, and soporific voice. And although his current research is still in its early stages, Elkins believes their findings will be promising and could potentially yield multifaceted benefits.
One of the things that has been associated with menopause has been cognitive decline. We don't know if that's due to anxiety or changes in hormone, but we believe that as individuals sleep better, their quality of life improves, their ability to concentrate, to focus their attention, that overall performance can become better.
Hypnosis as a means of treatment has deep history. The word was coined in the 1800s, its root derived from hypnos, the Greek god of sleep. And even for hundreds of years before that, there were recorded instances of hypnosis, or at least something very similar, being used as a treatment. But despite its history of use, Elkins says there needs to be more research done in order to understand the full potential of hypnosis. With KWBU, I'm Carlos Morales.
Yes, this is Dr. Gary Elkins. I'm a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Baylor University.
Can you give me a little introduction, a primer into the work that you do?
Yes. My research has been exploring the use of clinical hypnosis as an alternative mind-body therapy to treat symptoms associated with menopause. Symptoms associated with menopause include hot flashes as well as sleep problems.
And what exactly is clinical hypnosis? Is it at all similar to its portrayal in pop culture?
Yeah, sometimes hypnosis is a term that has been around for a long time, and sometimes it's been portrayed in television and in programs in an inaccurate way. Hypnosis is actually defined as a state of consciousness involving focused attention and reduced peripheral awareness characterized by an enhanced capacity for response to suggestion. What that means is, first, hypnosis involves a focusing of attention. Just as a person might focus their attention when they're listening to music or engaging in some other relaxing kind of activity. And as the person is absorbed in whatever they're focusing their attention on, other things sort of fade into the background. And so the person can be more responsive to suggestions, for example, for particular mental images that might be helpful to them within that relaxed, focused state.
And what are the steps that led you to focusing on postmenopausal women specifically?
It's been an interesting journey in that to understand how we began to focus on hypnosis for treatment of menopausal symptoms, you'd have to go back to about the year 2002. And at that time, hormone therapy was the primary treatment that women used in treating menopausal symptoms, in particular hot flashes. But at that time, there was a large NIH-funded study called the Women's Health Initiative. And this was a study that followed women ages 59 to 70 years old and examined the effect of hormone therapy, primarily estrogen and progestin, in the treatment of menopause-related symptoms, such as hot flashes. It was already known that hormone therapy is highly effective, but one of the things that came out of that large study was that there is an increased risk of some side effects associated for some women with hormone therapy. For example, that study found that for some women, there was a 26% increase in risk of breast cancer. Also, there was an increased risk of heart attacks or cardiovascular disease for some women. And because of this, alternative treatments were needed, safe and alternative treatments. And so we began to examine whether hypnotic relaxation therapy or hypnosis could be used in such a way to help women reduce hot flashes and ultimately to sleep better. Those studies, we began to examine whether women could go through a program in which they would learn how to use self-hypnosis to reduce hot flashes. And we found that it can be very effective for most women.
When you say self-hypnosis, can you take me through that process? What is it that they're either doing or telling themselves?
Sure. When a person is learning about hypnosis, there is a first step in which the person is just experiencing a hypnotic state, and they are guided through the process of focusing their attention. Suggestions are usually given to become very deeply relaxed. And then in the case of hot flashes, mental images for coolness are suggested. So as the person, for example, can become absorbed in images such as walking through the mountains, feeling the cool breeze, mental images of snow, and just a very pleasant kind of experience, they're learning then the process of self-hypnosis. So by repeated practice, by having a recording of that type of therapy, the person is learning more and more how they can achieve that state either by listening to an audio recording or how to do it on their own.
So it really is a process of mind over matter.
It is. It's truly a mind-body therapy in which the person is learning how to focus their mind and how to bring particular images to their mind that can have a very positive physical effect. For example, in our first studies, we only measured hot flashes through self-report. We, in our first studies, were all with breast cancer survivors who were having hot flashes. And they recorded the frequency of their hot flashes on daily diaries. So how many hot flashes they had per day and whether those hot flashes were mild or severe or very severe. We found that hot flashes in that study decreased by over 65% by the end of treatment. But then in our most recent study, we measured hot flashes both through those diaries, but also we used a physiological monitoring device that would record the physical events of hot flashes. And we found that the hypnosis as a mind-body therapy significantly decreased both the self-reported as well as physiologically measured hot flashes.
Has hypnosis always been an interest of yours?
I've been interested in hypnosis for most of my career. My background is have a board certification in clinical health psychology, and I've had a strong interest in how psychological approaches can be used to help with medical problems. And up until 2002, into that time, I'd been primarily interested in the use of hypnosis for pain and anxiety management. I'm the current president of the Society for Psychological Hypnosis, which is Division 30 of the American Psychological Association, and also president-elect of the Society for Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis. And so my interest in understanding how hypnosis and similar mind-body approaches may be a benefit in treating problems such as pain, sleep, and then more recently hot flashes goes back through most of my career. And really the interest being in conducting empirical, well-designed clinical studies to evaluate what ways can this therapy be a benefit? Who is it most beneficial for? How does it work? How does it achieve these beneficial effects?
In 2002, did you take it upon yourself to research this alternative method? How exactly did you get involved?
Yeah, the process, at that time I was conducting a clinical study of hypnotic relaxation therapy for pain management. And the patients that we were working with at that time were individuals who had a history of cancer with bone involvement, which can be a very, very painful experience. And one of the oncologists that I was working with at that time suggested that if we could use hypnosis to reduce hot flashes among women with a history of breast cancer, that this could also be like very beneficial. Women who have a history of breast cancer, generally hormone therapy in terms of estrogen is generally contraindicated because of those risks of increased risk of recurrence of breast cancer. I knew that hypnosis had been used in treatment of problems such as pain and anxiety. And so I felt that it could possibly be helpful in reducing hot flashes as well. And so we just began to see some patients with hot flashes. And in those early just case studies, we found that it reduced hot flashes among women. And so that then led to a NIH-funded study in which we examine the intervention in a more of a randomized clinical trial, in which we could compare those women who received hypnosis to those who were not receiving any treatment.
And that's your most recent study?
No, our first study was with breast cancer survivors, and then the most recent study involved postmenopausal women.
Can you tell me about it?
In that study, we had approximately 187 women who were randomized to either receive the hypnosis treatment or they received structured attention, meaning they met with a therapist and they kept a recording of their hot flashes. They discussed their symptoms, but did not receive any active hypnotherapy. In that study, we found that hot flashes had decreased by approximately 70% at the end of treatment, and then at the 3-month follow-up, self-reported hot flashes had decreased by nearly 80%. We also found that women's sleep improved. And based upon those findings, we're currently conducting a study of hypnotic relaxation therapy to improve sleep in postmenopausal women.
What was the feedback like from the participants?
Most women found the therapy to be very relaxing. During a hypnosis session, the person is generally seated in a recliner. They're in a safe and comfortable environment. And the suggestions that are given are very pleasant and very relaxing. We provided women in the study with audio recordings of those sessions so they could practice at home. And so most women were practicing self-hypnosis or listening to the audio recordings about once a day. The feedback was very positive in that most women in the study found it both to be pleasant, but also very effective. As hot flashes decreased, stress decreases, sleep improves, overall the person starts feeling better as symptoms begin to be reduced.
And this is something they can continue to do themselves?
It is. The idea behind hypnotic relaxation therapy is, we say it, to empower the patient. So it's really something the person is learning how to do, and then they're learning how to use self-hypnosis. And so if the person can learn how to use self-hypnosis to reduce hot flashes, then to sleep better, then they may be able to use it for other uses as well, such as reducing pain, coping better with life stresses, and so on.
So it's multifaceted, I guess. Different purposes.
It is. It's a tool that can be used for different purposes. The suggestions that are given depend on the goal. So in our study at present, we are examining how hypnotic relaxation therapy can improve sleep. And so the suggestions that are given are toward that goal of becoming very relaxed, and then suggestions are given for improved and deeper sleep and how that can be achieved through practice.
I noticed a lot of books in your office that mentioned Ericksonian clinical hypnosis. Who is this person and what's their influence in the field?
Yeah, Dr. Milton Erickson plays a very significant role in the history of both hypnosis as well as contemporary practice of hypnosis, and is largely known for very innovative ways of using hypnosis and ways that hypnotic suggestions can be developed toward particular goals. So what I mean is that sometimes hypnotic suggestions may be very direct. For example, a direct suggestion might be that you could become more and more deeply relaxed by imagining feelings of relaxation. Or suggestions may be given in a more indirect way, such as telling a story. So, for example, in hypnosis, the person might be just simply described that they could imagine being at a beautiful beach, or remember being at a beach and feeling the warm sunshine and hearing the sound of the ocean, and thereby they become relaxed, even though it might not be directly suggested to them.
Was his work the foundation for your approach in the research that you're currently doing?
To a large degree, Ericksonian hypnosis has influenced most approaches, and even influenced psychotherapy to a large degree, primarily in clinical techniques and approaches. There's also an experimental foundation to hypnosis. For example, I mentioned that I'm the president-elect of the Society for Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis. And so in experimental hypnosis, those foundations are more in the area of identifying very specific, consistent methods that can be used with everyone. Whereas in a clinical context, there's more freedom to adapt for the individual based on individual preferences and so on. Whereas in research, there has to be a consistency across treatment.
What else can you tell me about this study?
Well, in the current study, we're really examining the use of hypnotic relaxation therapy to improve sleep. And there are two primary things that we're interested in learning more about. The first is, what's the best way for people to learn how to use hypnosis? We want to find ways that people can learn hypnosis most easily to improve their sleep. So in our current study, some of the participants will receive individual sessions with a therapist. For others, they may be self-guided by using the audio recordings at home. And then we're also examining both people's perception of sleep, but also physiologically measuring the degree to which total sleep time, for example, increases.
Is the study a part of a renewed interest in hypnosis as treatment?
Well, for this particular study, it really grew out of our earlier study of hypnosis in treatment of hot flashes. So we're continuing to examine this treatment as it may relate to improvement of symptoms, in particular sleep. Hypnosis has been used for many years in reduction of anxiety, even in improvement of sleep. But there needs to be more research. It has not been well examined in empirical studies, clinically used, but we really need to understand more about its application, the best way that it can be delivered, ways to make it most effective for individuals. And so although there is a strong foundation in history of use of hypnosis clinically, the clinical research is not near as large. And this is the area where we're really advancing our understanding of hypnosis in treatment of clinical medical problems.
Is there a stigma of hypnosis outside the professional realm?
Hypnosis, as a word, has been around since the 1800s. And hypnosis has been portrayed at times in magic shows, sometimes stage shows, sometimes accurately and sometimes inaccurately portrayed in television shows. And so those images of someone staring at a watch or acting in a funny manner on stage, those are entertainment portrayals of hypnosis. Most people understand that in a clinical context, hypnosis does not involve anyone being in a under someone's control or in a trance state in which they're compelled to act in a manner that's embarrassing or anything like that. And so, although most people have seen or heard of those images, most people, in my experience, has been that they understand that there is a clinical use of hypnosis. There's an entertainment value where it's sometimes portrayed, but those two things being very different.
And Dr. Elkins, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we've really covered most of what I would want to talk about. I just want to take a moment and kind of reflect. The current study is examining the use of hypnosis to improve sleep in postmenopausal women. Many women, as they enter menopause, experience a decreased quality of sleep. And that can be due to the decline in estrogen that's associated with menopause. It can also be associated with stress, that as women enter the postmenopausal years, they may be dealing with increased stresses of work, family. They may be dealing with empty nest syndrome, children leaving home, as well as maybe even caring for aging parents. And so there are stresses that occur, as well as the changes that occur as estrogen hormone levels decline. And because of this, a lot of women experience difficulty with sleep during postmenopausal years. We are interested in really examining hypnosis as its potential as a safe and effective alternative treatment to improve sleep. And women who are experiencing these problems, they participate in approximately 5 sessions spread out over the course of about a month to a month and a half. During that time, we found that sleep has improved for most women who have been in the study. And in this study, we're interested in learning the degree to which it can be effective, but we're also very interested in how to best deliver the intervention. As I mentioned, women postmenopause may be dealing with a lot of stresses. And so even coming for frequent weekly sessions can be a burden. And so we're trying to determine how many sessions are needed. How much of it can a person do on their own, self-administered hypnosis, where they can simply learn how to use the audio recordings and practice with them at home. In this study, we are examining the degree to which hypnotic relaxation can improve sleep. We're also interested in whether it can have other beneficial effects. One of the things that has been associated with menopause has been cognitive decline. We don't know if that's due to anxiety or changes in hormone, but we believe that as individuals sleep better, their quality of life improves, their ability to concentrate, to focus their attention, that overall performance can become better. And so we're really examining all of those effects so that we can eventually offer women an alternative to sleeping pills, an alternative to other interventions to improve sleep.